And you might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John and to chapter 20. So perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God, we thank you that we can do just that. Thank you. So help us. And we'll thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In the light of our study, exercise of the Gospel of John, after his resurrection, and in his dealing and preparing the believers for their assignment to represent him, as my Father sent me, so send I you, he said. And in Acts chapter 2, they're going to be empowered, enabled to do just that. Now, having preparing them, we share together the last person in this particular movement is the apostle, Thomas the apostle. And Thomas, remember, Thomas is a dear man, committed man. He saw no good to come out of this world. And therefore, he was committed to our Lord and understood that nothing good was going to come out of this world. And so therefore, but he didn't see anything to come. So therefore, in his relationship to the Lord, he failed to understand that the future and everything to come was to be found in the Lord's person and because of who he is. And he failed to do that. So now he's not believing. The Lord has been to all the other disciples, and they all are ready to, they're believing his resurrection. But the Apostle Thomas had questions, and we shared together that he said, that except I put my hands in your fingers, in your hands, my palm, my fist into your side, I will not believe. And of course, the Lord understood that he said that. So when our Lord appeared the next 7 days, the next Sunday, to the disciples, he centered his whole movement on Thomas. And therefore, we share together, verse 26, and after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. So he commanded, as it were, Thomas to do just what Thomas said a week ago. To do it. Put your finger here I am. Here's my side where the spear went in. And now put your hand in there. So there's no question. And so Thomas, in verse 26, 24, 26, said, I'm not going to believe when I have hands on. So verse 27, God said, all right, hands on, I won't believe. God said, all right, I'm going to accommodate you. Hands on, here I am, put your hands on, go and do it. Now, so he says that, and that's saying something, making his realness, God's wonderful reality of who he is, unavoidable. So it's unavoidable. There's no way to do more than that, to convince, to affirm. And in the affirmation comes his declaration, my Lord and my God. He couldn't do more than that. There's no way. You want to prove something, a proof that's unrefutable. Now, what did he do? He said, I'm going to prove it. Helped Thomas, said, I want proved. And God said, prove it. Now, a simplest little illustration that will help you. If we said the stove is hot, and you don't want to believe the stove is hot, you just don't want to believe it. I don't believe it's a stove. I don't believe it's hot. Okay. No. And so it's not hot. I don't see it hot. So you take the person over and take their hand and say, now here's the stove that you say isn't hot. Now put your hand down on top of that burner. Put your hand down. Now, is it hot? It's hot. It's real. There's no argument anymore. There's no discussion. There's nothing to say. The stove is plain hot. And my hand shows it. Hot. God, what you've done is make it so there's no question of who you are. That's what he's confirming to the disciples who are going to go and get clobbered by the world system, and they're going to represent our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, having said that, and therefore, in the wonderful affirmation, the stove's hot, our Lord, it's real. So therefore we have in verse 28, Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God, my Lord and my God. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, it's personal. It's personal. Believing, have faith, your faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. You've got to believe personally. You've got to have faith. You've got to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Thomas believes. Thomas believes. That's no question. So therefore, the stove's hot. My Lord and my God. David will say, my Lord, the Lord is my shepherd. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty. My country, my. It's personal. Wonderfully, wonderfully personal. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, so, in chapter 20, sliding over, our Lord's response. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Response, verse 29. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen me, seen, and yet have believed. Now, having said that, taking that apart, God said that Thomas, the people that aren't like you, that can't do and have happened, can never do what you did, put your hand to my side, as it were. Blessed are they. Thomas, it doesn't mean you aren't blessed. But blessed are they that can never do that. How so is that? How so is it? Blessed. Blessed has to do with to be blessed, to be happy, the word. To experience, to exercise, to enjoy God's favor, God's grace. Blessed, blessed, happy, happy. Now, having said that, blessed. So having, keeping that in mind, if you can, with that. So going through history, just moving along to see the difference. When we come to Adam and Eve, they walked with God, Genesis 3. And Adam and Eve walked with God. Enoch walked with God, Genesis 5. He walked with God. Noah, Genesis 6, walked with God. These are the world. But these are singled out that they walked with God. They didn't touch God. They didn't see God. They just, there's God, the invisible God, and they honored him and believed and rested and relaxed in his presence. That's what they did. Genesis 17, 1 at least, over in your Bible. And in Genesis chapter 17, picking up, as you might guess, chapter 17, picking up, please, if I may, in verse 1. And when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me in my presence, and be thou perfect, complete, wanting nothing. I want you to know, I want you to go, I want all of you so that you can have all of God. All of God. You walk before me, and I'll have all of you, Abraham, and Abraham will have all of God. A wonderful, wonderful relationship, the vine and the branch, a wonderful, wonderful way. So here's Moses, and Moses had a wonderful relationship to God. And Joshua and Caleb had a wonderful relationship to God in the 40 years in the wilderness. They followed him closely. So here's 40 years, and the people, here's the cloud by day, the fire by night. But Joshua and Caleb, they're tuned in, like Moses and Aaron, they're tuned in. They enjoy the presence of the invisible God. That's what they did, enjoy the presence of it. And God blessed them. God makes it known. He pins them, he points them out. Joshua and Caleb followed me closely with all their heart. I got them. They got them. They walked, they know. But Thomas, I won't believe unless I can put my hands in his side. And that's a literal physical body. Wow. Now, having said that, so 3 1/3 years Thomas has been with our Lord, so the other disciples, and 3 1/3 years he's been with them. And in the process, he has had opportunity day and night for everything. But in all of that time, he never could enjoy the relationship to God, the Father, for 3 1/3 years. He was with God, but he could never enjoy being God's son, being saved, I should say. He couldn't enjoy it. He was there. He was there. Abraham, they all walked with God. Abraham, Noah, they all walked with God. That's wonderful. But in the process, so here's Abraham, and here's the disciples, I should say. And they believed. They believed, but they didn't believe. They didn't believe. And just to see it, so you remember it, over, if I can, over John chapter 14. All kinds of ways to show you, but just remind yourself. John chapter 14, picking up in thought. Oh, in chapter 14, picking up, please, in verse 5. In the process. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Okay, and here's Thomas and the disciples. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. From henceforth you know him and have seen him. And then Philip came into the picture. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Now, so here they are standing. He's standing in front of them. All of this time for 3 1/3 years and now in the upper room. And he said, I'm with you. You want to see the Father? Look at me. There you reach out. I'm going to give you a piece of bread. We can hold hands, whatever. Here I am. You can touch me, handle me. I'm not resurrected yet, but you can do that. Am I real? Oh, you're real. Chapter 6, John. Oh, they didn't have a problem about being real. Chapter 6, if I may, verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Remember, they left because they weren't going to follow him. Chapter 6, picking up, please, so you see the context again in chapter 6, picking up in verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They didn't want to go any further, no further. It's a hard thing, he tells us, like we shared in Sunday school. We don't want to hear that. We don't want to understand that. So that ends the thing. And so therefore, our Lord says in verse 67, then said Jesus unto 12, will you also go away? And Simon Peter answered and said unto him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe, we're believing, and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We have no question you're the Messiah. You know, we have no question the Messiah would come. We believe you're the Messiah without any question. We don't understand that you're God. We don't understand that. We believe. I believe in Jesus. Do you understand he's God? He's God. He's the invisible God, underline invisible, because that's the whole issue. God's trying to help the disciples who have been visibly 3 1/3 years with him, could touch, eat, etc. But now they have to understand that God in the flesh, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You have to understand God in the flesh in order to die on the cross. But God in his awesomeness in the flesh, step out of the flesh into his infinite person. He's the invisible God and you can't see him. You can't smell him. You can't touch him. He's for real. Hang on, we'll catch all this. You got to understand that. He's trying to help them understand. What are we supposed to do? We walk by faith, trusting the invisible God. We aren't looking for visible. Hang on. And that's what God's trying to clear up. Hang on. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would. So God, we believe, and what we really don't understand, we don't go. And so therefore, God, and when he comes, Mark chapter 60. And in verse 14, this is after his resurrection when he went to them, when he first went to them. What did they have to work through? Chapter 16, verse 14, among others. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat. He and upbraided them with their unbelief. and hardness of heart, because, what's the reason? They believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. In other words, Mary and them have come and said he's risen, and they didn't believe. They just didn't believe. So you got to hang on to that. And so when he comes back to them, like we read in John 20, he shows himself. He shows his hands and everything. He does that. So that what? They could believe. The trouble is they didn't believe. They didn't believe. They had to believe. So God's going to help them. God is going to help them to the point of illustrating it in the life of Thomas. Now, so believing. And of course, it's so back over to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And picking up, if I may, and you will note verse 29. Jesus saith unto Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. But there's no blessing here. It doesn't mean they weren't blessed. But God makes it a point. Do you know, Thomas, people don't have to stick their hand in my side. People don't have to see my nail-pierced hands. They need to know I did it. It's done. It's finished. They need to understand. They need to understand so that they can withstand. And therefore, they need to believe. Blessed are they that don't see me. Not you, Thomas. You aren't blessed. You push me to the end where I should. The stove is hot, and I put my hand, and you're hot. You put your hand on my side. You know it. They'll never do that. They can't do that. Blessed are they that can never see me. Never see me, as it were. How so? How so, God? How so? Now, keep in mind, if you would, so here's the visible becomes the visible. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Our Lord was born at Bethlehem of Judea. The Word was, the visible became made possible. The visible, the birth of Jesus, made possible the seeing the invisible. How can I see the invisible God in the visible Lord Jesus Christ? John chapter 14, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Do you understand? I'm trying to help you, said God. Trying to help you get understanding the awesomeness of God's person. Awesome person. And boy, we miss out when we fail to see that. Now, having said that, so here's God's wonderful person. And what do you know? Easy, different little way. In Romans chapter 1, you may want to go over there just for a minute. How does God help people? And in Romans chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are C-L-E-A-R-L-Y, clearly seen. Clearly seen. Bugs, flowers, you, stars, look where you want, anywhere in forever, are clearly seen. All of creation, all of it, all the laws, natural laws and other, all of creation are clearly seen, being understood, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. They have no excuse. God, what are you doing? I'm helping. And verse 19, you've done these 1,000 times. 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest, public, clear, plain, where? In them. God makes himself known that you are not part of an accident. You're not a dinosaur. You're not a rhinoceros. You're not a skunk. You're a person. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. God puts eternity in your heart. Animals never worry about dying early or late. You have timing. God said, you are made for eternity. Antelope aren't made for eternity. Your dog isn't made for eternity. You are made for eternity. And God put that in your heart. That's why you have a sense of tomorrow, a sense that is a tomorrow, you betcha. Now, having said that, and so God's wonderful, wonderful creation to show his creation in a wonderful way. And you know, without turning there, in Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth showeth his, heavens declare the glory, and the earth showeth his handiwork. That's what it does. God's going to do what? It's all, what are we supposed to do? What are we talking about? We're talking about knowing God invisible. He's God. He's beyond the stars. Everything is in the 2-3 trillion galaxies. Give them that, they'll discover. If they haven't said it yet, they will. In the process, in all of that is in the middle of God, like a dot. And God is everywhere. There is nothing outside of God. How could you possibly see God? You can't. Moses, what are you going to, Exodus 33. Moses said, I want to see your glory. And God hid a mirror on the rock. And God, because God's glorious. And God said, but you can never see me. No man can see me and live. You can't. In the light of that. And so God, having said that, keeping that in mind, and in the process, John 5, our Lord will say it. We need to get an understanding comfortably about God. Chapter 5, and going, if I can, in the light of the context, sliding over to verse 37. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. You have never seen God. There are no pictures of God. And it's interesting, there are no pictures of the Lord Jesus in his flesh, are there? There are none. Now, I know you see him, but don't you believe him. There are no pictures. No pictures. So therefore, we can never say, well, boy, he looks like Jesus. You can't say that. No images, no idols. God eliminated. There is none. He died and rose again. He's seated in his perfect resurrection body. And, you know, with jumping way ahead out of it, he's the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world, John 1:29. And in the book of Revelation, he is the Lamb all the way through, the Lamb, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the Lamb. And the word Lamb, you remember it in Revelation. The word lamb is little lamb. The little lamb. Not just a big lamb. He's the little lamb who's Lord of lords and King of kings. He's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He's the Savior, a little lamb, as it were, an awesome God, a little man, and an awesome God. You can't see God. No. 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 Go over with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And would you pick up the thought? 1 Timothy chapter 6. And you'll note verse 15, which in times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Verse 16, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. You can't see God. It's impossible to see God. Common sense. When you look up, can you see the trillions of galaxies? Hard enough to see some stars. You can't see God. He's awesome. That's why you got to come by faith, Hebrews 11. You got to come by faith. God is God. Wonderfully God. Wonderfully. Wonderfully. Can't see him. Wow. Now, back over to John. And in John chapter 20, and you will note, in John chapter 20, picking up, I'm going to go in verse 24, 29. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. The word seen, to see, is a mental, visual grasp. The word means to mentally see in your mind, to see with your eyes, to see. Okay. Blessed Thomas, you have seen with your mind and your eyes myself. Blessed are they that have never seen. Now, hang on to that. Now, don't get after Thomas, because Thomas was not alone. Thomas amplified the problem, but he's not alone. John chapter 14. And John chapter 14. And you will notice, chapter 14, verse 7. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen. You see the word seen? That's the same verb, same everything, perfect. They had seen. So it isn't just Thomas, but they're guilty. They had opportunity to see. They had seen. Blessed are they, from henceforth ye have known him and have seen him. Verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, yet thou hast not known me? Philip, he that hath seen, there's the same verb, seen me, hath seen, same verb, seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? You guys had opportunity to see, but you didn't believe. You didn't believe. Thomas amplifies it. He doesn't believe. He sees. Blessed are they that haven't seen, that never see. Help again. 2 Corinthians. And chapter 4. And you will notice, 2 Timothy chapter 4, little context, verse 16, 4:16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man is perishing, which it is, falling, wasting away, thousands of cells are dying, and thousands of cells are being made. And verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perisheth, yet the inward man, the person inside the physical body, is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, even though we're in this body, in this on earth, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why is that? Because we're doing it differently. We just don't use our sight. We say, I walk by sight. What I feel, what I reason, what I can understand. No, I walk by faith, not by sight. Verse 18, why we look not at the things which are seen, there's your word, seen, but at the things which are not seen. And that word, that's a different word, seen, and that even intensifies. It means you're thinking about what you see. And when you think about what you see, verse 18, we see things, but the things which are really to be seen are not seen. The whole realm of the all of the wonderful, what's running us as we spin around the earth, spin around the sun, what are we doing? Here's the sun with all the ultraviolet rays and all the different rays, all of them taking place. We don't see them. We don't see them. They affect everything. Here's all the different, everything, the things we discover from using it from a human way. We don't see the sound. We don't see the movement. We don't see how a thousand ways. We don't see how a little global system spinning around up there, whatever they are up there, is able to go and see everybody on earth and tell them where they are and tell them where the drugstore is all at once. All the drugstores in the world can be seen all at once. Now you tell me, I don't know. I did a little bit of computers 100 years ago when they were invented. What can I tell you? I don't know how I do that. I don't know how I do it. You figure it out. I get your books. I can give you books and read about it if you want. Even after you read about it. That's awesome, isn't it? Everyone's all coming through. 8 billion messages go up and 8 billion messages come back. I got to tell you, that's awesome. Awesome. Blow your mind away. You can't see it. But boy, do we enjoy it. The spiritual world. We're in an earthly realm. We touch, taste, smell, handle. That's for Thomas. But the world, the spiritual world. That's a whole another world. Right now, we're in it. It's all around us. But we can't see it. We can't smell it. We can't touch it. And therefore, it must not be. But it is. Things which you can't see. It's awesome. He's the invisible God. And God's trying to help them understand. Blessed is the person that can't see. They don't need to see. You need to believe. When you believe, you'll know. What will you know? Blessed. Why are you blessed? John chapter 14. Why are you blessed? What's the difference, Thomas? You guys missed it. But you're going to have it. Of course, Acts chapter 2. They're going to have all of these wonderful things. Chapter 14 and verse 20. Chapter 14, verse 20. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. It's one thing to walk with God. It's another thing to have God inside of you. Do you understand? It's a different thing. Blessed is the guy that never sees. Blessed the guy, the people that just plain believe God's wonderful word and work and his saving grace. They're blessed. Wonderfully, wonderfully blessed. Why? Because they're able to have a relationship to God in a most awesome way. Chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus in the process. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. My Father and I are going to find their home. Your heart, Christ's home. God's home. That's what you're going to find. A wonderful thing. A blessed. Thomas, you don't know that. No, he doesn't. And the disciples don't know it. Not until Pentecost and it happens. But until then, we're on this side of it. Blessed are they that never see. If God show me something, I don't need to show you anything. Everything is there to see. Believe me. Just plain believe me. That's what I want. What are you talking about? Well, you got to show me. What do you want to be like, Thomas? Thomas, put the whole thing to rest. The stove's hot. Don't even talk about the stove being cold. It's hot. God is real, wonderfully authentic. He's real. Affirmation. Now, having said that, chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. A unique relationship. Thomas, you don't know anything about that. I told you it's coming, but you don't know it because you're pushing, hands on. No, I want you to believe with all your heart. Chapter 17, verse 10. And all mine are thine, 17:10. All mine are thine, son to the Father, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. They're mine. So what relationship? A blessed relationship. Do you understand? God made it possible in the person of the birth and death of his son, of the Lord Jesus, to be able to house himself, to find himself in the human heart. That's what they were made in his image and likeness. Genesis chapter 1, 26 and 7. That's what we're made for. We're made to enjoy God in a most wonderful way. I can't see him. You don't need to see him. You need to believe. That's what you need to do. You'll see him seated there. But you're going to enjoy him seated there because God in Christ is in you. And you are going to be real comfortable with God and his awesome person. Now, keeping that in mind, if you can, chapter 17 and verse 21, that they may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Verse 23, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect, full, complete, wanting nothing, in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hath loved them as thou hast loved me. A new relationship. That's what we have. That's a plus. Thomas, you didn't know that for 3 1/3 years. You never knew it. After my resurrection, you still didn't know it until I pounded it into your head. Stop being unbelieving. That's Thomas. Stop it so you can believe. You're missing out. Now see, that sounds, what are you so disturbed about? God. It cost God his son to make such a relationship possible for you and me, for real. If we're talking make pie in the sky by and by, it's all right. Be with it. Amen, go home, see you tonight. See, we aren't talking about that. We're talking about a real relationship to God that he intended us to have and we're to be blessed in that relationship because believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And you can't touch him, you can't smell him, you can't do anything. All you can do is believe. That's all you're going to do. And God's going to make it real. That's what he's going to do. And blessed are they that have never seen me. Blessed. Blessed. Well, I want to see God. You can't see God. How could you see God? Even if you saw, listen, follow it. If the, for 3 1/3 years they saw Jesus Christ standing right in front of them, a man, but they didn't see God. They saw an awesome man, but they didn't see God because they weren't believing. All they had to do was believe. The Lord Jesus, John 14, we just said it, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But that didn't click in their head. Here we are sitting here, and you sit there in your house or when you sit at your table to eat or whatever, there you are, lay in your bed, and there's God, a wonderful, awesome God. We aren't talking about a Buddha. We aren't talking about Hercules or Zeus or any of them. We aren't talking about the gods we make humans so that we can handle our gods that we make. You don't make God. God makes us. Wow. Now, having said that, little bit, and keep me that in mind if you can. So God, Christ in you. 1 Peter. I just sort of been chatting with you. I just haven't done much, but I hope you got a little bit. Trying to get you to see something. That's what God's saying. I don't know what people do with their Bible. They ever read their Bible and believe it. That's what it's all about. 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter, if I can find it, chapter 1, 1 Peter 1, and in verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being tested, put to the trial, put to the proof, going to believe God, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, tested, and you go through the college of hard knocks to learn, to stumble through everything. Finally, it gets into your good, thick head. Is that all right to say that? Finally, it gets into your skull, what he's trying to get home to you, say it to you. Trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ coming for us, whom having, there's your little word, verb, what? Not seen. Blessed are they that have never seen. Blessed are they. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You don't see him. Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful. Otherwise, I'd have to know, I'd have to keep looking out the window and see if God's in the, around in the yard. I don't have to look and find God in the yard. I don't have to find God anywhere. Wherever I am, he is. That's easy. Is that right? Think of how did Moses do it? Hebrews 11. Hebrew, how did he endure Egypt and everything, the gods? He endured seeing him who was invisible. He enjoyed the invisible God in the presence of gods, the gods of Egypt. Wow, that's what he did. Now, so therefore, verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, the faith, the body of truth to be believed. You're believing. Here's God's word. All of the wonderful truths in God's word are found in God who gave it. And God who found and gave it is in the believing heart. Receiving the end of your faith, the faith, even the salvation of your soul. I'm waiting for God. God's going to fulfill everything he said, and God is everything he said, and God is going to do everything he said. And you know, without turning there, all different things. Galatians 1:24, you don't have to turn there. The disciples, the apostles, saw the apostle Saul of Tarsus, who believed became the apostle Paul. They saw him, and they understood. When they looked at him, Galatians 1:24, and they said, God is in, G-O-D, God is in that man. God is in God, not Jesus. Jesus is God. But they knew the difference. God was in that man. Let me do it for us sitting here. First, I'll close with that. And so, 1 Corinthians. And you can guess. Chapter 14. First Corinthians chapter 14. Here's the assembly in southern part of Greece, Corinth. Chapter 14, verse 23. If therefore the whole church come together in one place, then all speak with tongues and languages, and there come in those that are unlearned, in other words, they don't know, or they're unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? You are cuckoo people. That's what you are. What's wrong with you? Rolling down the aisle or something, you know. Now, verse 24. But if all prophesy the word of God, honoring God's word, and there come in one that believeth not, or one that is unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, because we're looking to the word of God, and the word of God and the God of the word, we're relating to God. Now, what does he see when believers are healthy? Verse 25. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, clear, public, plain. And so, falling down on his face, this is the unsaved, he will worship God. Interesting. He'll worship God and report. What's he going to say to his neighbor, to his family, to his wife, his husband? And report that God is in you of a truth indeed. For real. Ah, that's what it's about. Blessed are they that never see me. Blessed are they. You can't get out of my presence. Psalm 31:39. So enjoy my presence. Gotta quit. Our Father and God, deal with our heads and hearts and help us. Thank you very much for loving, caring. God, you know us. We need your help and patience. God, we stumble along. God, foolishness often, stubbornness, our stupidity often. So God, thank you for caring. Thank you for being an awesome Father, a super Savior, and a wonderful provider. Thank you for caring. Thank you again and again. And for those who know you not as Lord and Savior, may they receive you into their heart, and our God will thank you in Christ's name. Amen.